You're listening to SBS News.
Antarctica's so-called Doomsday Glacier was given this name because it's huge and coming apart, but it's also disrupting international research. A large iceberg broke off the deteriorating Thwaites Glacier, and along with sea ice, it's blocking two research ships with dozens of scientists on board from examining how fast its crucial ice shelf is falling apart. Scientists from around the world are part of a $50 million international effort to study the glacier by land, sea and from below for the brief time they can get to the remote ice during the Antarctic summer. New York University environmental scientist David Holland, who planned to drill deep through the Thwaites ice shelf to measure how warm the water is below, says his team is achingly close but not quite there yet.
Thwaites is not going to happen this season. So we have all this equipment. I don't know if you can see behind me the drill and all the ocean science equipment.
The iceberg used to be the tongue or leading edge of Thwaites until it broke off about 20 years ago. It measures about 70 kilometres by 44 kilometres, according to the National Snow and Ice Data Centre. Mr Holland moved to the nearby Dotson Ice Shelf to do his research, where no human had been before. The smaller Dotson Ice Shelf, fed by multiple glaciers, is about 140 kilometres west of the Thwaites Ice Shelf. He says the Dotson ice shelf is less of a concern.
The Dotson, not me personally, scientifically, not too worried about it. It will eventually melt away with this sustained warm water that's been here for perhaps decades, certainly not centuries. And this ice shelf, if we could look at a map of land and seafloor, you'd see that this one, when it runs out of ice, it'll have some impact, but there's not a giant reservoir of ice behind it from the south that way that can come this way to the north to completely fill it. So eventually it'll just run out of ice.
While places like Greenland are melting from warm air above, Thwaites and its neighbouring glaciers have it worse because they're melting from the warm water below the ice, which acts more quickly. Mr Holland again.
Minus two is the freezing point of the ocean in winter when it grows sea ice. The water beneath us here is 2 or 3 degrees above that point.
Part of that is natural weather variations, but on top of that, Mr. Holland says climate change is playing a role.
These patterns oscillate naturally. And what we're seeing now from a computer model for the winds in this vicinity, in the Amundsen Sea, Dotson, Thwaites, Pine Island, we're seeing a signature in computer models that the greenhouse gases are tilting the winds in a way that's bringing more warm water south.
The warm underground ocean water is what Holland came to study, with plans to drill hundreds of metres down and put sensors below the ice in the pools of warm water. Warm is relative, about 2 to 3 degrees Celsius. What worries Mr Holland and many other scientists is that the leading edge of the huge Thwaites Glacier is breaking apart seemingly more rapidly in many different places.
More troublesome is Western Thwaites. The ice shelf is almost completely broken up now. And if you look at a satellite image, it's just a mess of icebergs, all of which conspire to stop us from getting there because the icebergs got all the sea ice around it and stuck, and it's a vast area we can't cut through. In terms of time, I think the ice shelf will be gone in a matter of years to decades. But the actual inland ice, that's the really unknown question, is it has the potential to collapse into the ocean, but nobody has a physical understanding. Nobody's ever seen that happen before.
Even though total collapse of the entire glacier could take hundreds or even thousands of years to occur, the edge is falling apart much sooner. And if all of Thwaites collapses, it could raise the seas around the globe by around 65 centimetres, but that could take hundreds of years. The United States National Science Foundation's Paul Cutler says if Thwaites goes, neighbouring glaciers could follow.
I mean, there's definitely a speed up of the ice entering the ocean, and the front of the ice shelf it tends to oscillate back and forth until the next big iceberg breaks off, and then you're back, you know, you step back a step, and then the ice creeps out into the ocean again, the next one breaks off. So the fact that you've got net retreat of the grounding line, the point where it goes afloat, and you've got acceleration of the ice from upstream means that, yeah, the volume of ice entering the ocean has increased.
Mr. Cutler says once Thwaites disintegrates, the effects will be felt for a long time.
That creates an instability that once you lose Thwaites, you also start draining other ice, you're draining ice into that basin. And so it in all the forecasting models, it tends to cause the rest of West Antarctica to also collapse over timescales of thousands of years.
The South Korean icebreaker ship Araon, on which Mr. Holland travelled, has a helicopter, so an improvised landing was possible at Dodson. But the US National Science Foundation research ship, the Nathaniel B. Palmer, which has about 35 scientists on it and two underwater drone ships, has been unable to make it to Thwaites yet and doesn't have helicopters. For Mr. Holland, being there is not just about science, but also an appreciation of nature.
It's just this beautiful white desert-like landscape, brilliantly white, actually. And it will all be gone and replaced by the Pacific Ocean in due course. And that'll be a new phase, and that'll be fine too, I imagine. People in the future will make do with this in some new way.
While parts of Thwaites' edges have fast-spreading cracks like a car windshield, safety mountaineers had inspected where researchers set up camp on Dodson, so Mr. Holland isn't too worried about the danger. A red helicopter was on hand to evacuate one of his eight-member team back to the ship because of a severely sprained ankle, which isn't too serious. Meanwhile, the vastness of the ice has prompted Mr. Holland to reflect on the fragility of the planet.
And it's just such a tiny, small planet. It's just incredibly easy to understand how it can change, because it's changeable, and it's a small place. It's kind of weird that we live here and we're on this planet. Just remarkably small, and it's remarkable that we exist and that we're here, and it's all of that together.
Peggy Giacomelos, SBS News.